Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Reality TV, and welcome to our new reality, it seems. Let's just get all the crazy stuff out of the way. Yeah, our world is upside down. I could definitely go into some Hamilton lyrics here, but I will save it for probably the weeks upon weeks ahead when my kids are homeschooling from the living room just a few rooms away, and I'll be pulling my hair out, much like many of you. But let's just be very serious for a moment. We will survive this, just like the song says, just like my cellulite says to my thighs every year. We're going to survive this. We're going to get through. And the silver lining, if there is one at all, is that you realize who and what you appreciate. And I know I definitely appreciate you guys, especially after last week's Patreon. So many of you reached out, and I love you guys. So many of you are just the most badass people I've never met, but I know, and I thank you for all of that. And Patreon subscribers, I'm not trying to pimp this here, but honestly, especially in this uncertain time, I really appreciate it, especially Lindsay, Abby, Jenna, Savannah, Lola, Christina, Jennifer, Jill, Megan, and each and every one of you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now, as my way to pay it forward, Amanda and I, my co-host of Total Request Podcast, we decided everyone deserves a laugh. So here and there, we're going to be dropping some bonus episodes of previously recorded Total Request podcasts. They're our favorite ones. They're our funniest ones that we seem to even laugh about if we go back and listen to them. So look for those just as our way to say thank you. And for our current Total Request podcast subscribers, we're going to be releasing some bonus episodes for you guys over on TRP. And actually, we changed the link just as an easier way to get there. It's just patreon.com/TRPod from now on. All right, all that business out of the way. Let's talk about me nailing the homeschooling thing this morning. Well, my kids are 10 and 11, or soon to be 10 and 11. And we colored some shamrocks this morning for St. Patrick's Day. And I simplified fractions. So basically, I'm like a golden apple recipient. And yeah, I was a teacher. I have my master's degree in it. And after about, 35 minutes of teaching the kids, I was tapping out to come and record this. And I could not be happier. So I hope you guys are hanging in there. If you're parents with even school age kids, little kids, it's hard, especially when you can't go out. But I encourage you to go out of the house, do some scavenger hunts, which I recognize it's going to be fun for the kids the first time. And then we're going to have to get really, really creative. Maybe, I don't know, we do a little scavenger hunt when you're watching your reality shows. Go back and watch some old school Real Housewives. Those are pretty tame, believe it or not. I mean, besides Shane Keough threatening to kill his mom and, you know, beat her with a baseball bat. But maybe some early episodes of The Real World. You could talk about, oh God, pandemics. I was going to say AIDS viruses with Pedro and Rachel, who ended up marrying, oh, you could go into politics here. She ended up marrying Sean Duffy, who was on Road Rules, and now he's some uber conservative congressman, senator, something in Wisconsin. I mean, tie this together. Be creative. Look at me, inspiring people around the world. Oh God, I really do kind of suck right now. Anyway, let's get into actually four shows this week because God damn it, you deserve it. I'm talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Before the 90 Days, Love After Lockup, Married at First Sight, holy shit, that episode, and Sister Wives. Now, 60 days in, I'm going to hold off even talking about it on Patreon this week because not a lot happened. We have new people who have entered the show, but we barely scratched the surface. So I think it'll be better to do a doubleheader next week. So look forward to 60 days in next week. As for Patreon, I don't know. I'm thinking I might go log back into my polygamist profile. It has been about a year. Remember the first time I signed up for it? Bernie McGee from Seeking Sister Wife. Well, before they were even on the show, they propositioned me because, you know, I might have presented myself as a Norwegian 20-something who doesn't have any children but wants to bear the fruit of many a man. So I think I'm going to log back into that because last I checked, I got an alert that I have like 380 messages. Wonder why. So I do think that deserves some attention. And who knows what the hell's going to happen in this world in the next 24 hours. But look forward to that coming up on Patreon. Now, let's just dive right into 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. It is a damn good thing I took my CBD oil right before I recorded because I have a thing or nothing to say about Stephanie. She's bisexual, she likes to eat cheese, and she wore a mask before it was the influencer thing to do on YouTube. I am sorry. Actually, no, I'm going to sound just like Stephanie now. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. She's basic and boring AF, as a Steph would say. Why the fuck is she on the show, you guys? She better start bringing it with Rainbow Bright over there or I'm going to be pissed. It's just going to be another season of another boring couple when I really want to get into David and Svetlana. Yeah, that's her real name, but we'll get to them in just a moment because we got to get Darcy and her fourth face out of the way. Monte Carlo or Saint-Tropez, anyone? Oh, you can't afford it because your boobs are still on layaway and your Louboutins got repoed. That's right, Darcy. We know a Radisson Suites when we see it. And certainly those were free mimosas that they got at 5 p.m. for the free happy hour cocktails. Now, before I even talk about this pathetic little pep talk that Darcy was giving herself, let's just touch on the eyebrow journey that Darcy and Stacey are on. I've seen them before, obviously. I've seen the evolution, the journey that they've been on. But when I was looking at their eyebrows compared to Molly and her friend, I actually watched this episode and then the Pillow Talk episode, you really realize how massive the size of their eyebrows are. If you took your hand, okay, everyone look at your hand. Wouldn't that be cool if everyone was actually looking at their hand right now? I feel like you're really listening to me. So look at your hand and spread it not all the way out, but maybe 66%, 2/3%. I mean, I'm like really good at fractions. I told you guys. So look at your hand now and go from the length from your pinky to your thumb and put it up by your face. And that is inner to outer brow, how large Darcy and Stacey's eyebrows are. I know you're supposed to go straight up from your inner eye. I'm really losing like every guy listening right now to that outer corner. We all know that little geometrical equation. But theirs are insanely long. From beginning to end, they've got to be at least 6 inches. Just pay attention next time because when you look at their faces with the brows and anyone with a normal face and eyebrows, you really can appreciate that ratio. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be a math lesson to bring to your kids every week now. Just appreciate the ratio. That is all. All right, now, Darcy and Stacey have snagged this friend, Ray, and they drag her along. But never before have I seen three real people, or me and my closest friends, who I've like gone through legitimate crazy shit with, okay? Real life stuff, way more serious than anything stupid that they have with Tom. Never have we held hands and did like a softball, basketball, 1, 2, 3, break, be strong, bitch. That just doesn't happen. You don't hold your friend's hand and do a, I love you. I love you. Unless you're a fucking weirdo like Tony and Sister Wives. Go listen to that episode that we just released. It's crazy. These are the weird kinds of women that also walk around butt naked in front of each other. Or they're the kind that just start making out at a bar, even though they're not lesbians or not bisexual. They'll do it just because they think the guys at the bar will think that they are hot. Think any Real Housewife of, I was going to say Orange County, but I mean, you got some New York in there too. Just think any OG housewives like a Ramona, a Sonia. All right, you get it now? Good. Because it's about self-love and empowerment. Because we're badass bitches. New York City bitches. All right, Avery and Ash. Avery's finally arrived in Melbourne. And as nervous as she is to see Ash, she manages to look fucking flawless. I hate her just for that. You know, if I were to, oh, I don't know, live just a normal day in my life, I look like I've been jettisoned across a tin can for 12 hours and I've gone nowhere except to pick up my kids from school. But here she is, fresh as a daisy. She's got a little half updo, just the perfect amount of straight tendrils coming down. And then we have Ash, who was calm until this morning when his stomach suddenly went bleh. So I'm guessing that morning shit that he takes in the ocean was more like the water than the land, if you catch his drift. Now, when they met at the airport, I was expecting maybe some sort of a Tanya St. John, something very spiritual and romantic, something very deep, because, you know, these two are so into the metaphysical. But it was totally anticlimactic. There was no crazy passion or anything like that. He grabs her face, he kisses her, and then he says, "Let's go, woman." Oh, I'm sure every relationship expert across the world would agree. You definitely grab someone's face and call them woman. It's just passionate. That's what it is. It's just a passionate moment. No, I don't see these two having any sort of sparks flying whatsoever. I mean, for all this chemistry and connection they say they have, I wasn't feeling it. I don't think anyone else did either. I mean, looking on Twitter, all everyone says is about his eyes and that she's a little closed off. But maybe it's because, oh, what did he say? Mentally, we are connected. Consciously, we are connected. And I realize that's not an Australian accent. I don't know what exact accent he has. Maybe that's what Avery is into. She's into the accent, because guys with accents do tend to be hotter. Imagine, I was going to call him Asin, holy shit. Imagine Ash speaking in a typical American or Midwest accent. He would just sound full of shit, right? Probably a guy that Avery would want to kick in the nuts. And she does seem a little closed off. I will agree with a lot of people who said something's up with her. But, you know, I don't really mind it that much, because Ash is really sketchy to me. So I don't want her to fall too hard for him. I don't see what Avery sees clearly. I don't know what she sees at all besides two large eyes staring right back at her. All right, let's talk about our newest couple, David and Lana, which is short for Svetlana. All I know for sure is that David is the low-key creep of this season. You cannot tell me this guy isn't going to RV across America so he can hide his mail-order brides across our national parklands. You cannot tell me any different. A man who admits to having a fantasy about Rocky and Bullwinkle, any cartoon, as a matter of fact, is a man who wants to get caught. He is putting it out there just so the authorities can, you know, put the strings together on their big board. Okay, that's like a fantasy I have. I really want that job. Anyhow, David is also a man who frequents a company. This is my theory where it starts, with a company called A Foreign Affair, allegedly. Go back and listen to one of my earliest episodes with one of my listeners, Larissa. She's now one of my friends and she's a producer. Long story. Go back. It's got to be in the first, I don't know, 20 some episodes. The owner of this company called A Foreign Affair, I want to say his name is John. He's been doing this forever. Now, this is allegedly. I have not fully read the Starcasm article just yet. It's a business, and there's no doubt in my mind that it's for guys like David who don't understand that you could find a woman from the Ukraine wherever you want, whenever you want, for free using thousands of apps. Oh, you know what? Hold on a second. Now I'm thinking it is not John from A Foreign Affair. I think I am actually referring to an episode that we did for Total Request Podcast. Okay, maybe both. Whatever. My point being, I don't think David is being catfished. I just think he is being scammed by some sort of app or company. And it's so obvious that even his former girlfriend, who was in the club, knows that he's being scammed. Oh, poor David and his blue dress fantasies and emojis from AOL 4.0. God, this is what I really think is going to happen with David. I think he's obviously being scammed by Svetlana or Lana. Not necessarily that she doesn't exist. I think she does, but she is certainly not in her 20s. If he's been talking to her for 7 years and she looks that way, maybe those original photos were when she was in her 20s. But listen, she's not in her 20s. That's going to be the big plot twist. She's actually 57 with many a facelift that he's paid for. All right, Ed and Rosemary. Now remember, they are at Ed's hotel and Ed had invited her to stay the night and he realizes that she doesn't have any pajamas, so he gives her a San Diego shirt to sleep in. She puts it on along with jean shorts. I don't know if she was wearing them under her dress. Doesn't matter. She's wearing them to bed so she doesn't have to make little teeny tiny Eds with little teeny tiny Ed. But I'll tell you what she will be making, and that is a fresh yeast starter for Amish Friendship Bread, if you know what I'm saying. And Ed, too. Why is he not taking a fucking shower? He has been on a long-ass flight, and all he's going to do is brush his teeth? You could fucking deep fry a turkey with the grease that he's got in his head. Or is it mayo? He's worried about his teeth and his gum health, and he's got fried eggs on his head. Come on, Ed. Ask any dermatologist about your eczema. They're going to tell you you need to take daily showers and or bleach baths. So if he has exacerbating conditions, I'm blaming no one but himself. Can you tell I have been reading up on skin health? Yeah. I'm not only a math teacher now, you guys, I'm also a health teacher. I mean, why aren't middle schools signing all their kids up to listen to this podcast for their homeschooling? Oh, dear God. I don't even want to say that. Ooh, boy. I shouldn't even joke about that. I have two kids that are probably going to need quite a bit of counseling when they get older. Let's keep going here. Now, Rose honestly does not have anything to worry about because Ed is pulling a Paul, if you will, a Paul of Carini and Paul. He's not going to sleep with Rose because he wants Rose to get an STD test. Now, don't get it twisted. Ed is not trying to find a storyline or be a weirdo like Paul. You know, he just wants to make sure that he's not going to catch any germs because he's a germaphobe. He probably got legitimate sex ed while Paul probably learned it from his mom while he was brushing her hair. I mean, I don't know that's how Paul learned, but we know. Now, Ed being the gentleman, the knight in shining armor that he is when he's not hanging Polaroids of half-naked women all over his walls, wants to take his Queen Rose shopping. And I knew this was going to be an oh, here go hell come moment because I myself am full on Big Ed 99% of the time. I get my internal thermostat from my dad and his side of the family. I run hot all the time. Like in the winter, if you see a steam cloud in the air, like, oh God, is there a factory over there? No, that's just Jody slinging groceries into her trunk. Okay, I get it. I was feeling terribly for him as he's sweating his ass off, but I am only human and I could not stop giggling. I mean, can you imagine the smell coming off of Ed with that mayo curdling in his hair? And he was going to be sick, legitimately sick. That desperation in his voice, that I want to go, that was real. I felt that. He was not exaggerating. That is the tone you get when you're about to pass out or your blood sugar is low. Think Steel Magnolias. I know that she had diabetes, but listen, it's the same desperation, the need to grasp control of the situation. Now, as for the grasping of Ed's wallet, I might be totally naive here, but I don't think Rose was stealing money from Ed on the spot right there. If she was scamming him, she'd be smart enough not to do it being filmed, right? But I do understand Ed's point of view because I would be pissed if someone was grabbing money from my wallet. Listen, my kids know better. I will smack their hands if they try reaching for something while I'm in the middle of a transaction. No. I mean, my kids try to swipe a pool pass from my hand when we're checking in, and I'm reflexively going elbows. Back the fuck off. All right, Lisa and Usman. And actually, Lisa goes between Usman and Usman, so I'm going to follow her lead here and use it interchangeably. If you go back in time to a much simpler, more innocent time, remember when we thought Azin hated Nicole? Usman really yes-anded Azin because Lisa's only 70% good at sex. Yikes. Anyone else wondering where that perfect woman Soja Boy sang about went? Yeah, well, maybe she got lost in Lisa's no-no spot because Usman doesn't know where that is, what that is. Bullshit. We all know that's bullshit. Lisa explains to us in the most disgusting way possible that she had to teach Usman what oral sex was. There's no way in hell this guy has a social media presence. He can date women online. He's in the studio singing about women, and he has no idea what that is. Bullshit. He has been downloading porn 24/7 since his first boner. He just didn't want to do that with that, and I don't blame him. You can tell by the way Lisa kisses. You know, she's got her fat tongue just sticking out there, flapping out. She is probably busted up down there. I'm sorry. But if you have crunchy curls where we can see them, Lord only knows how you're dealing with things where we can't. Now, as for breakfast with the roommates, I mean Santa's helpers from the movie Elf. Yeah, I saw that spaghetti with maple syrup. What the fuck was that? Usman is so blatantly using his friends as wingmen so he doesn't have to be alone with Lisa. Lisa needs to wake the fuck up. She acts like she's so knowledgeable about the culture, you know, oh, Nigerian sex habits and all. She should know that Usman needs his family's blessing. Why don't they Google this shit? We learned this ourselves from Angela and Michael. You think she would have known? No, I'm not going to even comment on Usman's apartment because I think we've seen way worse. And although it's not up to American standards of spoiledness, it was not that bad. It was not terrible. I mean, shit, look at where Rose was living. I take more issue with how Lisa was carrying that teddy bear around as if it were a reborn baby. She had the thing on her hip facing forward with the heart saying, I love you or whatever, or I love you very much. She wanted people to see that fucking bear and she was petting it. That's creepy. No one should carry a stuffed animal around like that past the age of, I'm going to say 7, which ironically was the age Usman was when Lisa went through menopause. Remember the good old days when we weren't all freaking the hell out and could ease our anxiety with a little stroll around Target, maybe a meet friends for a cocktail and dinner, such a carefree simple time. But fear not, I present you Feels. I talk about Feels CBD all the time because this stuff is legit. You know, it's not a chubby little teddy bear that's more sugar than CBD, and that is by design. This is premium CBD that I'm talking about, and I take it every single day. Just a little dropper under my tongue, usually midday when it's too early for a cocktail, but I've already popped my morning effexor. And more important than ever, you need to know that Feel CBD tinctures are produced here in the US. It's grown in Oregon and Colorado, and the CBD is tested and scanned 6 times from soil to oil, so you know you're getting safe, clean, effective, full-spectrum CBD oil, which is not what everything else has. Every bottle gets its own QR code, so you can scan it and get all the details you need if you're a little OCD like I am. I mean, exactly why I need it, right? Now, some of you have actually reached out to me individually and asked me what dose should I use. And up until this week, I was using the 1200 milligram, which is the most common. It doesn't make me sleepy, doesn't make me feel high. It just helps me focus and take the edge off a little bit. However, come this Friday payday, I'm stepping up my CBD game and I'm going to go full throttle. I'm getting the 2400 and you can't stop me. Now, because I joined the free membership, I already get 30% off every month and I'm going to show you how to save even more. You can pause and cancel at any time. They have a full money-back guarantee, so what do you have to lose? I can help you find the right dose. You can reach out to Feels. You can call them free. They'll hook you up with exactly what you want to know. They're not pushy. They don't try to upsell you. I seriously love Feels. And you know, if you're like, I want to try it, but I'm not sure, $20, you can get a flight and try each of the 3 different doses. Feels has me feeling my best since the day I started, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/reality TV, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That is feals.com/reality TV to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with that free shipping. Again, that's feels, feals.com/reality TV. Check the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. All right, let's go right into Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. We are on week 10 already. Who's cheating on who? Now let's start with Tony and Angela because I just want to get this out of the way. Angela is not a beach person. I know this for a fact. Look at her skin. It is paper thin. You can see the roots of her teeth just shining in the exposed sunlight. And she's wearing black boots in the sand. I think Angela would like to think of herself as a beach person, but she's not. It's like a Hell's Angel saying they also dabble into beach volleyball. You know what I mean? It's just an impossibility. Also, I have a question for you guys, and I hope you appreciate this one.
What happened to Andre? I always have to start my sentences with Andre. It gets me into the character. I say, Andre, you really embarrassed me tonight at Red Lobster. Andre, but I still think we can make it work. If we continue to fight in front of my colleagues at Red Lobster, we're gonna have to break up. What happened to Andre? Andre, stop doing this. Every time we have a little tiff, you go and run in the bathroom. What happened to Andre?
Oh my God, you guys. I really hope that you got that reference from Project Runway. Where's Andre? Anyhow, these two are full of shit as always. You know, if you want to have Andre as your best man, go for it. But in Angela's eyes, you're never allowed to see him or talk to him again. Right. Sounds reasonable. As does having Tony go hang out with Tommy at the strip club. Please do not hire them back for another season. Now, Lacey and Shane, although I think Lacey is a horrible person, I need to see more because Jean is so fucking hot. He has got some kind of sex appeal. I don't know. Maybe he's putting off some pheromones, but I am digging it. I've never thought that Shane is hot in any way, shape, or form. And him just laying on the bed, dicking around on his Xbox with a full-out pitted t-shirt, that was just the nail in the coffin. What woman is going to find any man attractive when she comes home and he's laying there, one hand down his pants, one hand on an Xbox, which probably just described 50% of the male population right now? But oh my God, I don't blame her. Get the hell out of there. And he pretty much is an infant. And when John in that preview says, "Daddy's home," I would be exposing one of my disgusting huge nipples too. Okay, well, I just told you way more information than you need to know. I'm going to shift the blame off myself and onto Clint and Tracy, actually on WeTV. At this point, it's just not cool. These two are dangerous to themselves, to the people in their lives. It's not fun. It's not funny to watch anymore. I can't snark on it because this is like watching 60 Days in or Out. Ooh, there's a whole new idea for a show. But I don't feel like we're watching Love After Lockup anymore. This is maybe even an intervention episode in the making. Now, Michael, Megan, Sarah, and Maria. Actually, we should have just left Megan off this because it sounds like she's just off the show at this point. Michael and Sarah and Maria are all fighting in the hotel vestibule area. Holy shit, where did I just come up with that? Wow. All right, hold on. Let's add this to the list. Math, health, and vocabulary. I'm a real English teacher now. The hotel vestibule area is where they are having it out. And at one point, the hotel manager comes out, like his most important day on the job ever. And he tells them to leave. But this is not good because, you know, Michael cannot be getting locked back up. And Maria either. If you look on, again, another sarcasm article, Maria has her own issues, so she should be the last person to be talking about custody issues and getting locked up. She's got a checkered past, too. Crazy that Michael picked her, right? Now, Sarah obviously is not faultless in this. She shouldn't have gone over there. She knew what she was doing when she put on her towel ring-sized earrings and started speaking in her second native language. Come on, girl. Get the fuck out of there. If you really care about your girls, leave them the hell alone. All right, Brittany and Marcelino. Well, Brittany has a new favorite hobby. It's sitting roadside so she can watch female prisoners and look out for Sasha. Don't understand that at all. Wouldn't that just be rubbing it in? Maybe even getting some of the prisoners in trouble, but whatever. She's there with the ex-girlfriend venting about Marcelino. Shocker. Brittany's dad did the same thing. He was a poker player and he would lose all their money. Once again, crazy how patterns repeat themselves. And so does her storyline. You have to tell me the truth. Okay, you're right. I make mistakes, but I'll do better for you and the kids. Snooze fast. We needed some Andrea and Lamar to really spice up this episode, but alas, nothing there. All right, let's move into Married at First Sight. What a great episode. Only for really one couple in particular. And I'm talking about Mindy and Zach. Let's talk about them first. This is the 1 month point. This episode is actually called Want You to Want Me, and all the couples are supposed to be celebrating their 1 month anniversary. So Zach meets Mindy at her ice rink and she does a little toe pick action, cutting edge reference, and they decide that they're going to have a nice dinner together. So they sit down and per usual, Mindy is being very gracious. She's not pushing Zach into doing anything crazy like moving in with his wife. But she does put a little feeler out there and says, you know, you've been having a nice night. You think you want to spend the night at the apartment? And I don't think she was really saying, hey, I want to bone you. I think it was just an olive branch. But Zach says he's not willing to spend the night because he knows that Mindy is full of shit. And when Mindy presses him on it, like, what are you talking about? He refuses to tell her, which is about the most annoying thing someone can do. I'm mad at you, but I'm not going to tell you why. You should know what you did. I shouldn't have to tell you. What the fuck are you talking about? And I believe Mindy wholeheartedly. Her reaction seemed very sincere. And the only thing that threw me off was she pretty quickly asked something about her friends. Like, have you been talking to my friends? Which led me and probably you to believe there's a hint of something that she knew her friend Lindsay, who we'll talk about in just a second, maybe was talking to him. So she asks that and he says, oh, well, you know, your friends know about it. So she's totally confused. And later we see Mindy sitting down, looking over wedding photos and calls Zach to come over. Clearly, this was a production move because the way they left that dinner, no way would she be calling him. So, of course, he comes over and he's like, oh, yeah, great. I'll come over. Fucking dick. So they start looking over the photos and he still won't tell her why he's so distrustful of her, why she's this terrible person. And this is where she asks about the friends again. And Zach says, you know what? I have been talking to one of your friends, Lindsay, pretty regularly, but it was always about you. We only and always talked about you, Mindy. Right. So then we find out that Zach never, ever called Mindy, that she was always the one to call him. This information should have been disclosed to us. Yeah, because their marriage is all about us. We should have known this before. That is huge that he never picked up the phone to follow through with Mindy. Oh God, he's such an asshole. I would love to know what his family says now. So Mindy, knowing this new information about Lindsay, calls Lindsay privately, and this chick starts backpedaling as quickly as Zach blow-dries his hair, all right? Her worst slip-up was when she said, well, it's okay, we promise not to talk until after filming. Rut-row, after filming? So Zach obviously has no intention on working on their marriage ever. That information is something that you should have told your friend about to begin with. Actually, let's back up. Let's start right from the beginning. Lindsay, not that cute. It's not as if she's got some super hot friend and Zach can't help himself. He's so physically attracted to her. Number two, they should have never exchanged numbers. At what point does that happen? I've been married years and years and friends with my friends for even longer, and Dave doesn't have any of their phone numbers. Or if he does, maybe it was just like a fluke thing. Now, third, if Lindsay has been talking to Zach and they just exchanged numbers very innocently, like they're trying to tell Mindy, why wouldn't you have told your friend that? Like, oh, hey, yeah, I got his number. He had some questions about you. He was a little nervous. Your obligation is to your friend first. So Lindsay is just a horrible friend. I'm just going to say she's a bitch, all right? That was a real bitchy move and her lying like, I delete people out of my messages when it's toxic. You are so full of shit. You are so fucking busted. All right, left turn towards Jessica and Austin. They make this hand mold thing. Sounds pretty exhausting to me. I'm not really an artsy fartsy kind of person, so I would be completely bored. That was just a bit much. Now, then for their first anniversary, Austin sets up this restaurant and he's got lights strung and petals thrown down. It's a whole thing, which makes me worried because I don't think this is something that most men can sustain. If you have a guy that pulls out all the stops and does this shit regularly, good for you. But I don't think this is a norm. There's no way that Austin can be stringing lights every 6 months a year for their anniversary. He wasn't there at that restaurant setting up the AV equipment. That's production. Jessica's going to be expecting this level of celebration and love from Austin here on out, and she's going to end up disappointed when she gets airport baklava 15 years later for her birthday. Or maybe I'm just projecting. All right, Katie and Derek. I am starting to feel the annoyance that most people have for Katie. Finally, it's hit me. She's decided that she's going to keep her townhouse, and that pisses off Derek. Now, this action is not what set me off for Katie. I actually think it's a smart move. If you bought a townhouse or renewed your lease for a townhouse, why is that a bad thing? You don't know if it's going to work out with Derek. I don't like the timelines that she's giving him. He has to know if he's in love at 8 months or a year. But I just think fiscally, financially, it's not a bad move for her to keep her house. Maybe she can keep it and rent it out if it works. Whatever. Now, later they meet for dinner and they have some real snippy moments. And that's where I saw the little spoiled brat part of Katie that a lot of people have been seeing. She's the type of person that doesn't back down. She will dig her feet into cement to prove her point. And when she did that little, go ahead, check your phone, I mean, I was kind of rooting for her if she actually had the receipts, because it's not often that you get receipts like that. But you can't always throw that out there when you're in a relationship. Sometimes you just have to know that you're right. And that knowing is the most, God, this is going to sound horrible, but it's the most like stick it to them thing that you can have, because you know that they know that you know you're right, if you know what I'm saying. All right, so let's just fast forward. They make up. It's fine. They have some cocktails. And then they go back to their apartment and blah, 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 romantic stuff, photo albums. Let's just talk about this horrible bath they shared. God, everything was triggering me. The water to bodies in the tub was off. There were signs of mildew along the tub and the shower, and she takes a bath every day. That's not my kind of thing. I know a lot of people do it. I get a little germaphobe about it, because you know, if he's in that shower, guys pee in the shower, they do it, and she's just splish splash taking a bath in his urine. Anyhow, the two of them in there, it's just gross. His body and balls all up against her back, and she's wearing a white swimsuit. We didn't need to see that. And them eating in the tub too. Gross. All of it together was just a big no. All right. Taylor and Brandon. It's just a slow and painful death at this point. Taylor is forced to go through their wedding basket. And somehow, either she's a great actress and she says that she's feeling hopeful, or she's an idiot and she's still feeling hopeful, because this thing is done. So they meet up to get their nails done, which was a smart move on Taylor's part because, you know, she wanted to meet there so that she wasn't paying for it. That a girl. But Taylor ends up giving Brandon a card, and in the card, she apologizes for making that Instagram video. I'm still probably the only one on this planet that thinks the video was not that freaking bad in comparison to all the shitty things that Brandon has done. Let's not forget his temper tantrum when she woke him up and said, good morning. Let's not forget the temper tantrum that he threw when she brought him a free drink, not to mention him verbally assaulting the production crew on more than one occasion. Everyone knows that he's an ass. However, Brandon still sees himself as the victim. He's still claiming that he went into this show, this experiment, to find love. He's just so heartbroken that he could have had a chance with someone else, but he didn't. Bullshit. So he reads this card, and it's not good enough for him that he would have preferred that she not put it in a card. Fuck you, Brandon. How about you apologize in writing? Maybe she needs it in writing. She doesn't want to hear it from you. She wants to read it from you. I don't fucking know. Just end it. Even when she said in the card, I just want to be friends, he doesn't want to be friends. So why do we keep filming him? Let's just put it to rest and give us an hour and a half episode instead of 2 hours. Now, finally, we get to Mika and Michael, another couple where it seems I'm taking the side of the unpopular person. This week, Michael made breakfast for Mika. And if you remember, breakfast and brunch is a huge thing that Michael loves to do. He loves to make it. He loves to go out for it. It's his thing. But Mika isn't a breakfast person. So when Michael makes her a beautiful breakfast, hell, any breakfast, I would take a fucking bowl of cereal happily. But no, not Mika. She's going to sit there and fucking pout. And she really hopes that Michael doesn't get used to her eating breakfast, because he's going to have to understand to be flexible. She's not eating it anymore. He better not think that this is a normal thing. No way. What the fuck? What is her problem? At what point does she give a little? When does she have to meet in the middle somewhere? So for their 1 month anniversary, Michael rents a yacht, and it's very cringy because he's obviously trying to prove something at this point. He's trying to prove that he's got money, that he's not lying about making the money that he said that he was. I think at this point, Mika half cracked a smile, maybe because they were on the water and she's super into dolphins. Fucking, I think that's weird. I'm not going to go into my whole fear of dolphins thing, but I'm skeptical of someone that loves dolphins as much as she does. In any event, Michael said he really wants to move forward and move on from the rocky start. If you listen carefully to Mika's response, she says she thinks that they should not move on quite yet. They need to have a good foundation and get to know each other first. So once again, that shows me that Mika just wants to live in this friction time. She loves just sitting there and overthinking things. But despite all that, they still got each other presents for their 1 month anniversary. Mika went all out, you guys. She went to Amazon. I know that gift bag when I see it. She went to Amazon and ordered Michael ties. Now, I'm not a big spender. I'm not a big shopper. Dave doesn't wear a lot of ties. But immediately, anyone with two eyeballs who's ever been on Amazon knows that that is one of those bundle deals. So what did I decide to do? Went to Amazon and listen, you can do this exact same thing and you will see it. All I typed in was men's ties in the very first item is Yanlin pack of six classic men's silk polyester necktie woven jacquard neckties. And guess how much? $22.99 and add on what? $1.99, $2.99 for wrapping. Big old spender, so thoughtful, the very first hit. Turn those tables around, she would have been pissed that he didn't spend enough time. Michael, on the other hand, did spend quite a bit of time first explaining what it was that he got for Mika, and then tells her that he got two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags, we're leaving the day after tomorrow. And then they're going to swim with dolphins and enjoy Jamaica's largest freshwater pool. I love you guys, my office people. Now, what does Mika do when she hears the great news that they're going to jet off to Jamaica? A half smile and barely said thank you because she keeps saying she doesn't believe it until they are actually there swimming with the dolphins. Michael's got to prove it. I don't know whether I want to see him totally mess up and, I don't know, show her a picture in a magazine. Like, they don't actually go there. Maybe they go to the sandals aisle in Walmart and he shows her a picture. I don't know. If he fucks up, it's going to be hilarious. And if they actually go and it's amazing, it's going to be such a fuck you to Mika. And I'm sorry, you guys. I am normally totally on the women's side. I've gotten shit before for being on Molly's side when she was with, oh God, the guy I hate, John Francetic. I was pro Molly and I was a real asshole then. So I guess this is the flip side of it. Let me know if I'm the only one. I don't think Michael is a great guy. He's kind of a weirdo, but Mika is just determined to be a Debbie Downer all the time. I just can't take it. I'm such an optimistic person and always so happy. It really throws me off when someone can be so negative and salty. All right, let's take a deep breath and we are going to head to my very own Sweet Home Chicago with the Sister Wives. This episode, I expected to be a big dud because it's called Being Gay and Religious. And I thought we were going to have Mariah preaching to us the whole time. But surprisingly, it was a pretty solid episode, minus Audrey. All right, I just got to say this. Say it every time. I'm not Audrey's biggest fan. I just feel like she's too comfortable in the Brown family. You are not a Brown yet. You're not technically married in. Get off my sister wives. Mariah's fine. There's just something about Audrey. Maybe you can name exactly what it is for me. Now we have Cody teaching Truly and Solomon how to ride bikes, which is what the entire hour should have been focused on because it was amazing. In all the seasons of Sister Wives, I have never seen something so hilarious. I've never laughed harder than I did with Cody out there with Truly and the kids. I had my daughter come in and watch this scene with me because, okay, it was kind of a bitch to teach my daughter how to ride a bike. She was very resistant. It was way later than she should have. Not as late as Truly, but I get it. It is so hard to teach a kid to ride a bike who doesn't want to ride a bike. So I had her come in and watch the scene with me, and we were in tears. At one point, Julie is on the bike and she's riding away and she's just screaming and it's getting more and more distant. Dad, 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 you're going too fast. Stop, please stop. And Cody insisting, yeah, you're going to ride a bike. Nope, nope, you're going to ride a bike. No, you don't get a choice. You're too young to choose. And then when Julie comes on and was so dead serious. Normally, it would annoy me when she would talk like this, but it was so funny because the passion she had when she said, this is my body and I am going to choose. I mean, I'm all for advocating for yourself and establishing boundaries, but come on. There's some real overgeneralizing here, truly. You're on a bike. You're not on a USO tour with David from 90 Day Fiancé or Bill Cosby, all right? Take it down a notch. You're on not even a 10 speed. You're on like a 4 speed. Oh my God. I should have my daughter come on and recap how she saw it because she thought it was hilarious too. So I'm not the only asshole in my family, all right? All right, now let me start talking about Mariah's engagement and how there are going to be two engagement parties. One is going to be thrown by her sister. So we're talking McKelty and Aspen, Madison. And the other is going to be thrown by Mary at Mary's B&B. Now, I have some theories here. I think Mariah is not too enthused about having two showers because Mary always has other intentions. Is she trying to pimp out her B&B? You know, use it for advertising, maybe even write it off in her taxes? Because why else would you have a separate one? It doesn't seem to make much sense because the sisters would be inviting family and friends just like they have for all the other wedding showers. And why wouldn't they want their mom, their sister mom, involved? Could it be they don't get along with Mary because Mary was always a bitch to them? Yeah, it also could be because Mary is a narcissist and the shower would not be about Mariah and Audrey. It would be about Mary because Mary has to make it all about her. If Mary were to team up with McKelty and Aspen and Madison, you know she would be pouting because she wouldn't have it her way. I always pictured having a daughter who would have a bridal shower like XYZ. It would be the fucking worst. So maybe Mariah realized in that moment where they were sitting down and they were eating together, you know what? She'll never shut the fuck up about this. So yeah, let's go have a shower at your teeny tiny bed and breakfast that's in the middle of nowhere and just be done with it, you know? All right, now then Mariah and Audrey had their little sit down. They talk about religion and being gay and it was fine. You know, good for Mariah. I'm happy that she's happy. Audrey still bothers me. I don't know why. Now back to Coyote Pass. You want to know why moving is such a bitch all the time, Cody? Maybe the ginormous picnic tables you schlep across the country might make things a little bit more difficult. They have been packing these huge, I'm talking old school picnic tables, to and fro Utah, Vegas, Flagstaff, and now they're throwing them down on the land so they can have a campfire. It was a very cool idea, but maybe you could have done that in Robin's extensively landscaped and paved backyard in Vegas and save yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars. Anyway, it was actually cute to see all the kids together and Cody being relaxed for once. Highlight for me, of course, was hearing Cody confirm my survey of Platt, if you will, from several weeks ago. Did you hear it? He said, we're going to line the pond so it doesn't disappear. And I shall take a bow. Yes, that is a retention area. It's where they dug up the topsoil, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. You can go listen to the episode. I'm just saying, when I'm right, I'm right. Now, since we're talking about homes, in case you didn't catch it the first 5,000 times, Robin's rental home sold and she's got to move. It is so stressful. You know what will take the stress away and the unknown possibilities away, Robin? I don't know, start looking to buy a fucking house because it's the only choice you have. Done, solved, problem disappeared. You are so lucky that you have the means to buy a home and you are not desperate to rent, who knows, two different homes to fit your huge one. But no, Robin's going to pout until God himself calls up a rental company and makes a 6-bedroom with an open floor plan available for her and Solomon and little baby Areola. Robin is quickly getting dethroned as perfect first wife. Certainly in Cody's book. I can't wait for next week. He is going to lose his shit on her. It's going to be awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me this week on Reality TV. We're going to survive, you guys. We're going to get through this. Remember, coming up this week on Patreon, I think I might just make it a polygamist Patreon day. That is in the show notes, patreon.com/realitytvpod. Coming up this week on Total Request Podcast, Saved by the Bell. We are going to be recapping the I'm So Excited episode. You know the one that is at patreon.com/trpod. And a brand new Bold Lip Happy Hour. I'll put all those links in the show notes, make it easy for you. And as always, especially now, take care of yourself, take care of the people you love, and stay extra safe and salty.